preacher today is Dr. Gideon Paramalam, all the way from Jos. And the sermon topic for today is, our quarter theme is living a life of sacrifice and service. And we welcome him to bring us to another exciting and challenging part of this quarter series. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, church. Thank you. To be back again to just share God's word with you. I have always enjoyed my times of fellowship, servicing with you. And I think, is it Uncle John that made the announcements on the choir? The guy who made the announcements? What is his name? He's Reverend Remy? Uncle Remy, is that correct? Okay, so he's basically mobilized all of us to be in the afternoon for that choir. So he succeeded in mobilizing me to say yes before I checked my schedule for the afternoon. So I'll try to be around. I'm very glad to be here, and I also bring you greetings from my wife all the way from Jos. We didn't talk this morning, but we spoke last night, and I hope I can come back here with her. And I'm grateful for your worship leader, my dear sister Nkechi, fantastic host, I must say that. And you need to clap for her. Thank you. Then I invited a few friends to join me in this service, actually two or three, and I'm so certain that two are here. One is Dr. Bolaji Akinyemi, who has a heart for the kinds of things we're talking about. And he's also one of the apostolic voices on the situation of our nation. Please, Doctor, do you mind standing up? Thank you. And I also ask one of my dear sisters, who is with Alpha, used to be a staff of the Navigators, but now with Alpha Movement in the UK, a fantastic movement in sort of exploring Jesus. Sister Nike, I believe by faith that you are here. If you are here, just wave somewhere. Thank you. Thank you. And I did ask a young woman. Her name is Bolanle. Is Bolanle in the service? Okay, maybe she would see me later. But Bolanle is actually a Muslim, but I've just been relating very closely with her. She's married, okay? So it's safe. Is that all right? And has children, you know, but I try to just do what I call non-threatening evangelism to attract her to Christ. And sometimes I connect with the family as well. Okay, then I have a young man from my own village. You know, I told you I'm a village boy. Each time I come here, you saw how I picked the mic. I wasn't sure how I was going to handle it. But I don't know if it's here. Is the young accountant here? Okay. So I think I have those two. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you. And I would like to just commence now. And I want my friends, and I also need to see my time so I can keep myself under control. Just put the time on. So far, it's only 1 second. Put it on. Let me see. Because if I see, no, it's not working. It's 00.01. So I need to see 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Oh, great. Okay, so it's on now. Praise the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful service. And we thank you also for the powerful time of worship that we have had together, including the time of prayer and the reading of your word. And Lord, I just ask that you would take total control, be exalted, that the eyes of your people will focus on the Lord Jesus, that you only use me as an instrument to share your word. Guide us, Lord, during this period of summoning, and also, Lord, bless us as we move into communion. May Christ be exalted. May Christ be glorified. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. For this is our prayer with thanksgiving in the name of your Son, Jesus. So let's just go straight into the slides. Those of you who are helping me there, please, can we just go straight to the slides from the beginning? Thank you. Okay, so this is it. I mean, I'm just going to share some thoughts, okay, quickly. Okay, so, of course, this is my first. You can see that. So, quickly on the sermon outline. Again, I want those who are there to help me so we can be moving together. I'm looking forward to when I come here, I'll control everything from here without some of these gaps between us. So, introduction. I'll share some thoughts on our introduction quickly. And then, what must I do? The question in verse 25. And at this point, I really need to commend the Bible studies. Whoever produced that Bible study outline, whether it was one person or a group of people, fantastic thoughts that went into it. And the group in which I sat, I think it's my brother Ben. What's the name again? Sam. Yes, sorry, Sam. Forgive me, you know. Who led fantastically reading, fantastic conversation. And honestly, I was deeply, deeply blessed just sitting down and listening to the way the passage was looked into very critically. So I commend that. And I commend that Bible study. For those who miss it, please get the outline and study it. So third point would be, loving God is a total sum game. And then a radical redefinition of a neighbor by Jesus through the action of the Samaritan. And then we go into conclusion. Please, can you move to the next slide? If you see my hand move, please just do something, okay? So the Bible reading has been done. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sister Nike. So let's quickly go to the first slide. The next slide after the Bible reading, it's been done. Please move. Study my fingers, please, whoever is there. Move to the next slide. Quickly, please. Okay, thank you. Now, this is unknown. I mean, if you Google this, you pick this. I tried to get the name of this person who said this, but I found it apt to portray what I want to share. That's why I'm quoting this unknown. This person said, compassion is more than a feeling. It is a call to action. When you serve others, you align yourself with Jesus' mission. Christianity is all about Jesus. Our mission, our pursuit as Christians should be centered around the mission of Jesus. You become his hands and feet. A vessel of his compassion. That's what the Samaritan demonstrated. As you help others, you draw closer to him. And that is the truth. Experiencing his heart for the broken and for the lost. And the end result of anything that we do in the end, that we might help people to see Jesus through our actions. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. So I want to share something here with you. Please, let's go to the next slide. It's a brief part of what you see as introduction, but I'm not here to talk about myself. The guy there wearing yellow kaftan, it's me. But honestly, this story, it's not about me. Forget about me. I sat here and I prayed and I said, Lord, don't let anybody think about me. But this is Mangu Plateau State. Around July 22nd, 2023, when massive attacks had been taking place. Now, I want you to understand that there are armed robbers in Nigeria. But we also have a terrible situation in which people are attacked in their communities. People who experience what this Jewish traveler experienced between Jerusalem and Jericho. There are people who are attacked. You're staying in the room, sleeping at night, 1 a.m. Someone comes with AK-47, wakes you up with a gunshot. And as you're waking up to consciousness, you're also receiving a gunshot. You begin to bleed until you die. And several people that suffered in this community. And it's okay to preach faith. But you also have to demonstrate your faith by doing something for those people. My heart ached. And I really wanted something to be done practically for the people of Mangu. We actually combined this with the people of Riom. And I'm talking about Plateau State in the north central region of Nigeria. So when we went there, and we took lots of relief materials, our Peace Foundation. I'm a retired missionary. I still engage in missions. But I also do believe that there are practical things, mercy ministries, holistic missions that some of us need to get involved in. And when I went there, I was touched by the story of this little baby because we had asked the orphans to come so that we can think of how to help them with scholarship. Please remain on that same slide. Don't go to the next one. Please just remain there. The one you took off, go back there and leave it. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Okay, so you look at that young lady there. The grandmother came and said both parents of this small girl were killed during one of the attacks. And as I picked the young lady, an orphan, held her, she began to cry. So I invited the grandmother to come close. We're still thinking of what to do for this small lady. Orphan. And we're in touch with the people, we're in touch with the leadership, we're in touch with the family. Now, what is compassion? Compassion is an actionable feeling of deep concern for the well-being of another person. It moves one to act in a way that meets the physical, sometimes emotional, and spiritual needs of others. And I think in the Bible study, a quotation was made referring to Billy Graham to bring out the spiritual need around the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. As Christians, we have been called to a life of love and compassionate service. And I want to highlight two famous Samaritan characters in the Bible. It's not on this slide. It's okay. So two famous characters, a woman and a man. And one of the things I love about this church, and I keep commending, is the fact that they allow women to play leading leadership roles. So clap for yourself, church. It's just true. Because you go to other churches, the Holy Spirit doesn't move through anybody except men. These are the same men who went and saw somebody attacked, they became sanctimonious and they took the other side. So women have a role to play in the body of Christ, and Jesus recognizes that. That took Jesus to go to a Samaritan, a woman, in John 4.
Famous Samaritan woman that preached the gospel just by her testimony. The second famous Samaritan is this man described as the Good Samaritan. So someone says, can something good come out of Nazareth? Yes. Isn't it? Hello? Yes. You know, Jesus came through the region of Nazareth. Am I correct? Then someone would say, can anything come out of the Samaritans? Yes, two, the woman and the man. So I don't know whether you can see that. Talk away somewhere there is something powerful. Never dismiss anybody. Never look down on anybody. Don't allow your prejudices to confuse you about people and their identity, ethnic identity or whatever. Can something good come out of the Yorubas? Won't you selfish? You will answer now. Can something good come out of the Igbos? Exactly. That means the Igbos have friends here, isn't it? Can something good come out of the Fulanese? You are an evangelist. Yes. Can something good come out of the people of Jabba? How did you know? Okay, praise the Lord. But you're getting the point. And that is truth. So when it comes to ethnic profiling, remember the story of the Good Samaritan, serving with compassion. So quickly we go to the next slide. So I have another story here, not again about me, but about this young man in red. This young boy, we just encountered his story last month. Yes, last month, October. Benedict, his father, was killed during the Christmas Eve attacks in Bokos, Plateau State. But the mother was able to run with him, and the mother was pregnant with this young boy and gave birth to him. So, of course, we did a massive intervention in Bokos in January. And so we've kept in touch with some of the widows there, with some of the orphans there, and some of the people in need. I mean, I've gone to Bokos up to like 5 times between when that attack took place and now. And so that is the mother. And when I had the story of this guy, I was so moved with compassion. My wife and I are still praying and thinking of what to do concerning this young boy. We won't leave him like that. So added to that, during this meeting, I just come back from outside the country, actually. As I arrived within 2 days, I invited a number of the young women, some of our daughters. I mean, our service leader mentioned people who have been raped, who have been attacked in IDP camps, okay? Our Peace Foundation keeps in touch with many of our girls who have been in Boko Haram's captivity. There's a lot I can tell you, but I'll spare that for another day. So we call them survivors, not victims who deserve pity, but survivors who deserve compassion. So we brought a few of them, about 11 of them, with this young boy, 12th. We spent time together for nearly 4 days, okay? And it's actually during when they came that I celebrated my 65th birthday. So when you see me on that picture, that's when I was 65. I always tell you that I'm not as young as I look. Is that correct? So I'm 65 now. Senior citizen, isn't it? Great. Okay. So quickly now. Benedict, 5 months old, I've told you his story. What up to my left? The young man who is smiling there, that's Daniel. Daniel, again from Bokos, a graduate, was attacked multiple times. As you're seeing him there, gone woods in his body. But when some of the Fulanese, armed Fulani herdsmen, I give it that qualifier, were so angry, they came after him. And they killed his wife because he was not in the house. Killed his wife, killed his daughter, his remaining children, and left only one son. They left the boy dead. And when they came, lying by the the sight of the dead mother, the dead sister, and the father cried out and just touched the boy, and the boy opened his eyes. Who says God has stopped doing miracles? He's still doing it. Preserve the boy. But look at Daniel with a smile. When we met with these widows and with widowers and some of our daughters who were freed, Daniel became our choir master because he's into music like you. And you need to see the worship that took place when we gather together for fellowship on this day. What of the lady to my right? That's Veronica. Veronica, I give her a nickname. I call her Jeremy. Jeremy that you see her there was actually married to a chief of staff of Boko Haram. This Jeremy that you are seeing. But I tell you this, it is true that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord will deliver. Jeremy was delivered along with other people. And so Jeremy on Christmas Day called me, and then she began to weep. And I said, why are you weeping? She said, when I came out from my escape from Boko Haram's captivity, not a single welcome in any of the services from one of the Hallelujah churches I attend. So when you decide to talk about service with compassion, that is the right way to go. And about 25 of these women who have suffered have come out between April 2022 and now that I'm talking with you. And to the glory of God, just last Sunday, one of those we've been advocating for who was kidnapped 2 weeks after Leah Sharibu left there. I mean, I can tell you, this woman managed to get in touch, sent a letter to her husband. That letter came through me. When I called the husband, because we're involved with the family, gave him the letter, he read it and he broke down. In her letter, she was also breaking down. But to the glory of God, just last Sunday, I received news that she has been delivered from Boko Haram. Yes, she's right now going through security checks. And I told the husband, I'm heading to Abuja. When I come to Abuja, I would see you. I'll try and see if the wife would come back to Abuja before I leave, or we will arrange something. But that is God at work. Acts of compassion to the needy. And when these people come out, what happens to them? The ridicule they suffer, the lack of care they experience. May God touch some of us who are seated here to remember these people that I've talked about. Hallelujah. I'm not doing fundraising, but being practical. Christmas is coming. Who would remember them? If I tell you what some of their people tell them, you would be shocked. Let's go to the next slide quickly, please, okay? I'm watching my time quickly now. Poverty and helplessness are on the rise in our world today. Many are in pain, struggling to survive. We drove yesterday from the airport with my sister Nkechi, and she was telling me stories of young people on the streets of Lagos, begging, just going up and down, knowing not what to do. Hunger is real in Nigeria. Today, right now, even here. Do you feel compassion for those who live on the margins of society, both local and global? Jesus calls us to action. Next slide, please, quickly. Serving with compassion requires us to have a healthy understanding of the situational need of the compassion receiver. But in showing compassion, don't act out of pity, but act out of love. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Show people genuine love. Care for them. Don't do pity party for them. Don't go. You see, when you're giving anything to support someone who is in need, don't go into your wardrobe and look for the worst clothes that you no longer want to wear. Yes, you can add that, but also look for the best clothes you would like to part with and give it to them. Show compassion. The pictures illustrate a lot. Now, develop genuine empathy. Create connections. for genuine action inspired by love. So the theme of love is very strong in the story of the Good Samaritan. All for the glory of God. Whatever we do, let's do all for God's glory. It's not about us. Christians' involvement in compassion, it's not philanthropy. It's love. That's what we're called to do. True compassion inspires godly action. Therefore, let's get set to move. Actually, as I sat here, I think that compassion is a spice of our Christianity. Let's spice up our Christianity with compassion. So turn to your neighbor, including your wife now, and say, spice up your Christianity with genuine compassion. Now I want husband and wife to look at one another eyeball to eyeball. Beginning with my chairman here. The wife is there. So you see, that's why I said beginning with my chairman, and then you directed me. Thank God I didn't. And I wanted to be sure it's the wife, okay? I'm not a false prophet. Do you understand? Okay, let's move on now. So turn, look, though, if you're seated with your husband, eyeball to eyeball, say, let compassion spice up your Christianity. Praise the Lord. And that compassion starts with your spouse. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's move on, please, to the next slide, okay? So, what must I do? The beginning of the conversation in the passage. The roadmap for living was pretty well stated in the law. Yet this law expert still wanted to hear directly from Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. I think it is important for me to point out here that eternal life, it's not something you do to inherit. Eternal life is God's unmerited favor, packaged as grace unlimited for all of humanity. Let's move to the next one quickly. In God's divine arithmetic, works does not earn or give you salvation, but your faith in Christ. So those who are in this service that do not know the Lord, it's not by works that you are saved, but you are saved by grace, according to Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. Two powerful passages. I move on, please, okay? So quickly, it's not about your works. Let's go to the next slide, please, quickly. So there is Jesus. The symbolic picture of Jesus washing the feet of the apostles. We will soon go into communion after this service. After the sermon. What is communion? Communion was also an act of service demonstrated by Christ in the Last Supper. Jesus served them. And he did it with such humility. Therefore, when we do works, we do it as service, not a payment for our salvation. This contextual reminder is important because compassion requires us to walk. But we should not approach this as a form of bribe or stimulant for God's blessings or salvation. Jesus modeled a life of compassion which inspired service, and we are called to emulate and go and do likewise. Point number 3. Loving God. Please, the next slide. Loving God is a total sum game. So we look at verses 26 to 27. Jesus pointed this man to the scriptures by asking him, what does the law say and how do you read it? When we read scripture, let's ask for grace to get into the spirit of that scripture. The intent of the author in highlighting what what the author has written on that Bible chapter or passage or book. Jesus came to transform the law, but not to abolish it totally. The law says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So automatically, let's go to the next slide, please. So love should first be God-centered, and it should be with the totality of one's being. Heart, soul, strength, mind. If you're hungry, feed yourself. But remember your hungry neighbor who has nothing to eat. Think lunch or dinner this afternoon in church with someone who cannot afford them. Keep them in your mind. How do you reach out? Even if you don't do it this afternoon, can you think of the best time to do it? Love is compassionate and merciful. Serving with compassion is an expression of our love for God. So that's one thing about loving God. When we do compassionate acts of service, we demonstrate our love for God. Yeah, let's go to verse 28, please. Thank you. Jesus summarized the scripture by answering the man, "Do this and you will live." Please notice that this is future tense, and its implication suggests obedience to God is key to what you become in life. There was strong emphasis in my Bible study group this morning about obedience. Jesus was not suggesting that people would be saved by their works. Rather, such love expresses genuine faith and devotion to the Lord. Some of us know the scriptures so well and can quote it word for word, but knowing without doing is profitless in God's arithmetic. You know, you do. Please, let's go quickly to the last major point. A radical redefinition of a neighbor, verses 29-37. In replying this question, the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus tells a remarkable story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, the Assyrians had invaded Israel and intermarriages took place. The Assyrians were real bad guys. Please stay on the slide, not me. The Assyrians were real bad guys. And when you read Ezra chapter 4, Nehemiah, please, you're going to read the story of the consequences of these intermarriages. Then a Jewish king, John Hyrcanus, attacked Samaria and destroyed the temple in Mount Gerizim in 120 BC. That's when the hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans increased. And then suddenly, a countercultural act was demonstrated here by the Good Samaritan. So a neighbor in this context was normally identified as a fellow Israeli. Jesus' definition of who a neighbor is should be non-restrictive in a geographical sense. Your neighbor is simply another human being, sometimes a total stranger, who is in need of your support. Anyone you meet who needs your help is your neighbor. Whether he or she is a stranger, an atheist, a pagan, African traditional religionist, a Muslim, a drunk, a drug addict, a prostitute. May God open up ways in which we can reach out to some of these people around our community. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next, verses 31-34 quickly. First, we see here that the priest, rather than help, simply moved to the opposite side of the road and continued with his journey, uncaring, uncompassionate. Second, we see a Levite, temple attendant, a priest, and someone who works in the temple, all from the same tribe, from the priestly lineage in Israel, the tribe, descendants of Aaron, who also passed on the other side of the road. You know, spirituality without practicality based on scripture is real confusion. It's a problem for the world. He passed on the other side, unconcerned, unmoved about the plight of this victim survivor. There are too many people in need today, and there are too many Christian leaders who would behave exactly like these guys. Third, we see a Samaritan, the least person the victim would expect help from. Yet, he was the one who helped. So he saw, he stopped, and he stooped to help. Saw, stopped, stooped. What seven compassionate service steps did he take? I want to highlight them quickly. One, he went to him. Two, he bandaged his wounds. Three, he poured oil and wine. Significance, oil soothes the wound. Wine was a disinfectant. 4, he carried a wounded man and placed him on his donkey. In our case today, your car. 5, he took him to an inn, perhaps a hospital or dispensary in our time. 6, he took care of him, perhaps spending the night doing so. 7, the next day, he took 2 denaries and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I would reimburse you for any extra expense you may have incurred. This is true demonstration of one who models service with compassion. At the Bible study, they say the man took a risk. And then in my heart, I laugh and I said, you know, this guy, he's not a Nigerian. Do you understand me? Because when you give that blank check, unless you meet a good Nigerian, you will suffer, isn't it? Because they will give you a bill that you will scream your head out. It's not that Nigerians are bad. It's just that sometimes we have tendencies to overdo because we want profit. To appreciate this story, you need to know that Jews and Samaritans were sworn enemies. And I provided a background. This Samaritan had no business helping. In fact, based on existing prejudices, he was expected to finish off this half-dead Jew. Instead, the 4th traveler, this Samaritan, on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. By the way, this Bible commentary says 17 miles, okay, on a steepy path. You know, you go 3,000 feet down. The robbers would normally hide there. So true also today. The good Samaritan, because he served with compassion, loving without artificiality. Service is a tangible thing that we do to benefit others. We demonstrate Christ-likeness through acts of service and compassion. This attracts the attention of heaven. And guess what? A watching world. When we engage in acts of service, the world looks on. It touches people. It moves people to Christ. I can tell you that from live testimonies, but I need to save time because my time is literally up now. Doing acts of service is one way to become public witnesses for Christ. Because there are people in the marketplace here, business people, all kinds of people that God has blessed this church with. Oh, may your act of compassion and service become a public witness for Christ. Such easily lead others to Christ. Restores backsliders. Heals the brokenhearted. And restores shattered lives, marriages, and homes. Your help, actually, act of compassion, can actually heal a marriage. May God lead you aright in Jesus' name. Conclusion, something to ponder on. Which of the travelers would you have been? If you were one of the three, or four, which of the three of these other travelers, after the fourth, the first that was attacked, which one would you have acted? And I give that for you, provoke you to think. I ask myself too, if I was driving and hurrying to Victoria Fellowship Church and I found somebody attacked lying on the floor and I'm coming to preach, would I stop? Or I would rush, find, meander my way because I want to come to the church. So this passage is also speaking to me. I've read it over and over, but in preparing this sermon, God spoke to me. And I pray that God will help me to be like the Good Samaritan. I pray same for you. Do you think you can show compassion to someone who is from an ethnic group that is enemy to yours? Change your mindset. Be like the Good Samaritan. Embrace the call to serve others. Be like the Good Samaritan. Be like Christ. The Lord bless us all in Jesus' name. Let's pray. So, Lord, we thank you that we would not only be hearers, but help us to be doers of your word. Lead us, Lord, as we step into communion now, reflecting on your acts of service in serving the disciples. Be exalted and be glorified in Jesus' name.